about to run out.
Is that a USB-C?
That's iPhone. Okay, Brother John asked me to speak for him tonight. So I thought it'd be interesting if we studied concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the question is, how many were baptized in the Holy Spirit? We have many that believe that the personal indwelling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are the same. And others don't discern between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of fire. So we're wanting to look very carefully to see who received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, because many believe that 120 received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So we'll just look at the scriptures and see what we can prove, and then we'll see who else then possibly received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in Acts, the first chapter, we're reading verses 1 through 10. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of these things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. All right, so this is the context of leading up to the day of Pentecost. And we see in verse 5 that there were some who were promised the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we go back to verse 1 and we see here who is there who received this promise. In the verse 2, he says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So who's here at this time? So far, we've seen that apostles are there. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. So who did he show himself alive to? Well, the only ones mentioned so far are apostles, being seen of them, the apostles, 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, still the apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from the Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, you have heard of me. So again, we can prove the apostles were there. Can we prove anybody else was there? For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So there's a specific promise, at least to the apostles. And at this time, there are 11 apostles. Later in this chapter, there will be 12 apostles. So John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they can expect in a few days to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right, so verse 8, he also said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. And then he tells where. All right, we're looking then at this promise here that was given that they would receive power. We're looking now in Matthew, the 10th chapter, and we're seeing that the apostles already had power. Matthew 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. All right, so here are the 12 disciples, and then he names them apostles here in verse 2. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these, and of course, he lists them all. So there can be no doubt who this promise or who this power was given to. And he tells them plainly, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So they had that much power on the day that Jesus ordained them to go out and preach. And then in Matthew 10 and verse 8, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So how many gifts are here? Healing the sick is one gift. Cleansing the lepers might have been the same gift. It might have been a different one. But raising the dead was miracles. Casting out devils was another third gift. And so they had at least three powers here before the day of Pentecost. All right, we're turning now to Matthew, the third chapter. John the Baptist then is speaking to the Galileans and whoever else came to his baptism. Matthew 3, starting verse 11. Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Then he goes on to describe Jesus here. So here's the promise. And who was this promise to? If it were to all men, then everybody would receive the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If it were all the Jews, then everybody on Pentecost would have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But here he says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We won't deal with that fire right now. We'll deal with a similar subject to it in a few minutes, Lord willing. But we want to deal with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right, if he gave this promise to these people that were there, we know that all the apostles had to be there at the baptism of Christ. So who was there for sure at this time? We don't know, but at the baptism of Christ in Acts, the first chapter, and we're looking in verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went out in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. All right, so here are the qualifications then for an apostle, verse 21. Wherefore, these men which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same time that he was taken up from us. So these men, to be qualified, had to have been with Jesus from his baptism and from the time he was taken up. So there were many others that went with the apostles, and these two were there. But the apostles then all had to have these qualifications. So when John made this promise, no doubt some of these apostles were there. And so the promise was not to everybody, but unto a specific few. And so we're looking then to see who that specific few is. All right, so Jesus then in, or the apostles then come together with 120 people. We're looking then in verse 10, Acts 1, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly up toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So here were possibly angels speaking to them. They were in white apparel. And so he addressed them as "you men." So again, as Jesus went up then in Acts, the first chapter, we can prove that he made those promises to the apostles. And in verse 8, he promised them power. Well, they already had three miraculous powers, so they were going to get more power than the miraculous power. So whatever that power was, he says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So we'll have to see what kind of power that was. All right, so in verse 11, he tells them Christ will come back in the same way. Then Acts 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. So all of these were there in that room on the same day that these came back from Jerusalem. These all continued in verse 14 with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So then in those days, verse 15, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. All right, so many believe the 120 were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, or with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. And we'll have to check and see if that's right. So this day, we know without a question, verse 15, there were 120 people there at that time. So besides the apostles, there would be 108 people after Matthias was appointed. All right, we go to Acts, the second chapter, and we see now that this is a different day. So we're not told in verse 1 who is there, but we'll have to discern who was there from the scriptures then that follow here. So in Acts 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, dwellers at Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. So he names there about 17 different languages. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this, what mean of this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my maidservant, handservants, will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy on my handmaidens. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. All right, he goes on to testify about Jesus' resurrection. We go back now to discern who was there when these things happened. So let's see what happened first and discern between the two things that happened on that first day. So Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. All right, that's another day than we were talking about before. They were all with one accord in one place. Well, the day of Pentecost was the day of the first day of the week. And so they were all with one accord in one place. Who were they? Verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. All right, this sound, was it a rushing mighty wind, or was it a sound as of a rushing mighty wind? And of course, he tells us there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. So that was a sound. It wasn't necessarily the wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. So if that whole house had been filled with water, would they have been baptized in water? But the whole house was filled where they were sitting. So what were they immersed in? And of course, the answer is the sound. So there is a baptism. All right, we're going to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And we're looking at verses 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. All right, so Christ was there in the wilderness with them, and notice in verse 10, they were all baptized unto Moses, literally into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. So they were baptized into Moses, how? In the cloud and in the sea. So the cloud covered the water and them, and the sea was on both sides, and of course the bottom of the sea was part of the sea. So between the cloud and the sea, they were immersed. And of course, water didn't touch them and the cloud didn't touch them. But nevertheless, he says they were all baptized into Moses by the cloud and by the sea. So when we're talking about baptism, it's not always in water. All right, we're going back to Acts, the first chapter again. Acts, the first chapter. And we're looking at verse 2. Acts, the second chapter. We're looking at verse 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So if that's not a immersion in that sound, I don't know what it is. Then in verse 3, we see, is this the same thing or is it something different? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. All right, so were they baptized in these cloven tongues, like as of fire? Was it actual fire or like as of fire? And these cloven tongues were divided, and they sat on each one of them. Now, there is a difference between sitting on somebody and immersing them in something. And so, is this the same thing that happened in verse 2, or is this a second action that happened? So we're asking the question then, if these are two different actions, what happened because of the immersion in the sound in verse 2, and what happened when the cloven tongues like fire sat on each one of them? So if it was two different things, then chances are two different results came from them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, we want to deal with that filled business in another lesson possibly. But they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the result was they began to speak with other tongues. And how did they speak? As the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so we're still don't know who this is, but nevertheless, we know that they spoke with tongues and that the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance, literally the speaking, which is the word. So they were dwelling at Jerusalem then, and these men all understood. But in Corinth, all the people did not understand because they were all Greeks. Well, here were all these different 17 nations there, and they all heard them in their own tongues. Was the miracle on the ear, or was the miracle in the tongues of the apostles? Well, the ears were not filled with the Holy Spirit. The apostles were. And they were obviously made to speak in one language, and then at least five of them spoke in a second language, or possibly one spoke in five more languages. But nevertheless, everybody there heard them speak in their own tongue. So who was there? We still don't know. We know these Jews were there. But the immersion was not for the Jews. The sitting on each one of them was not for all the Jews. All right, so in verse 13, we have an indication of who was there. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. All right, so these men there, looks like there were men there, but what about women? Well, the promise we read for Joel was that men and women would receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be known unto you and hearken to my words. So who did he stand up with? Verse 15, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. All right, so here Peter then stood up with the 11. Did he stand up with 112? Sorry, 100 and, my math is not no good, 108? Or did he stand up with the 11? Then again, we saw that all the apostles were from Galilee in Acts 2, verse 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these speak Galileans? So, all this indicates that this is only the 12 apostles that received the immersion and received the cloven tongues. So if there were more there, we'll have to prove that. And if you can prove it, please show me the scripture that does. I haven't found it. All right, Peter stood up with the 11, and then it came to pass that he talked about the resurrection here. And then in verse 35, we find in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, why didn't he say to Peter and the 108? So obviously we can see who definitely is there. And if there's anybody else there, it would just be a guess. Are we authorized to preach our guess? Then in Acts, the second chapter, and in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. So who was it that they were with? The apostles, and their doctrine and their fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers. So the Lord then did, without a question, bear strong witness to the apostles in a way he had never borne witness before, which is tongues. And then, of course, Peter prophesied. So when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the cloven tongues, the result was the evidence, the sign that they had received the Holy Spirit was that they spoke in tongues and prophesied. All right, we ask the question then, what power did they get when this, after this happened? Well, in Acts, the 8th chapter, we find one of the powers that we that they received there when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and when they received the cloven tongues. We've seen the two evidences, and now we see another evidence, Acts 9, verse 14. And here he hath the, sorry. Somebody help my frozen brain now. Chapter 8, where am I? I'm in 7, okay. All right, so chapter 8, verse 14. Can't get chapter 8 here. What's wrong with it? Okay, let me try it another way here. Sorry, my little phone is not working right. Okay. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore this thy wickedness, and pray to God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. All right, so here the apostles then in Jerusalem sent Peter and John down, and they came and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if this were the so-called personal indwelling, everybody gets that according to their doctrine when they're saved. And whatever they do to be saved, that's when they get it. But these people were obviously saved. They had already been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and even the Baptist won't baptize you unless you're saved. So these people had already been saved, but they had not received the gift of the Holy Spirit as yet. And so the promise was to them and to their children and to all that were afar off. But here these people had been baptized how many days before? And so it was not an automatic thing that they received it as they came out of the water. All right, so we go back to Acts, the second chapter. Sorry, we go back to Acts, the second chapter, right? And we're looking in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So here, the promise then that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost was based on their being repentant and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So this baptism then had four parts to it. Prerequisite, they had to be repenting. Secondly, they had to be doing this baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and it had to be for the remission of sins. So it's Christ's authority and to have their sins forgiven, had those three requirements. And then based on those three requirements, then anyone who did that would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. All right, we see what the Holy Ghost gift is, and Brother John dealt with this previously. We'll just touch on it later. But let's see who this promise is to. In verse 39, the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, in the English, afar off can refer to time. But in the Greek, this word afar off is distance. And so the far off then would have to be the Gentiles. And he tells them that in Ephesians, that they that were afar off now are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Well, they were afar off, but not from Jerusalem. They were still in Ephesus. But they were brought near to God and not brought near to Christ. They were afar off away from Christ. Now they're brought near, and now they're near to God. So this ones that are afar off, would they have more promise than the Jews had? Well, the Jews in verse 39 had the promises to you and to your children. So the promise was to all those Jews, if they obeyed, and to all their children. So how many generations is the promise to? And of course, it's to two generations. So we go to Acts, the 10th chapter then, and we see where Cornelius and his household received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, verse 1, there was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band of the Italian band, called the Italian band, a devout man, and the angel appears to him and says, call Peter. And so they do call Peter, and he comes. And as they come there, how many are present? All right, so in verse 24, Acts 10, verse 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So it was Cornelius, his household, his kinsmen, and his near friends. So there's quite a group here. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius tried to worship him. Then Peter then begins to preach to them, verse 34. And then as he's preaching then, he says, verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. All right, he's Lord in verse 35. Now they're going to receive remission of sins from him. And verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, fell on all them which heard the word. How many? Fell on all them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which had received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So they had to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. All right, we see that this Holy Spirit then came on them, and we notice three words that describe how the Holy Spirit came on them. While Peter yet spake these words in verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So there's your word fall. Then in verse 45, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that was the promise of Joel, that he would pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh. And so that same word now is used. So here, falling on them and pouring out on them. And notice it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So then the testimony that they had received the gift of the Holy Ghost in verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So just like the apostles, they spoke with tongues and they prophesied. So Peter then testified in verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? So there's your testimony then, this one act that happened. The Holy Spirit fell on them. The gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. All that refers to the same action. And the evidence for it was that they spoke in tongues and magnified God. Right, in Acts the 11th chapter, we find that Peter then is challenged by the Jews. So we're asking now, what did Cornelius receive? Was it the gift of the Holy Spirit, or was it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or both? So Acts 11, 1, the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest into uncircumcised men, and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded to them by order, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance. And then he went on to describe what happened. And then verse 11, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. All right, so why did he go? He had authority. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. So the Holy Spirit then commanded them to go. So they entered into the house. Well, that doesn't mean they had to eat with them. It didn't mean they had to go into the house, but they did. And he showed us how that he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call to Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John baptized with water, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Sorry, I lost it on my phone here. So Acts 11, verse 17, forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. All right, let's look at the Jews first in this passage and see what convinced them that the Gentiles were accepted. So here they came in verse 3, you went into men uncircumcised and ate with them. All right, so Peter then has got to have a reason for doing that. Had these Jews accepted the Gentiles at this point? Well, if they had, they wouldn't criticize Peter for eating with them. All right, I was in the city of Joppa. He goes through that and tells them, are they convinced by the time he gets finished? And of course, the answer is no. So in verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. All right, was this falling in baptism, or was this falling as the cloven tongues? Well, it doesn't say they were immersed, but the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. So that did happen to them, and it was an immersion and the cloven tongues sitting on them. Then verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right, we'll come back to that. Are they convinced yet? For as much then as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? So what was the like gift here? The like gift was tongues. The apostles received the gift of tongues and prophecy, and Cornelius and his family received the gift of tongues and prophecy. So because they began to speak in tongues, what did that tell the Jews here? Well, if Peter had laid his hands on and Cornelius and his household, they could have told him, you misused your power. You should never have done that. But because the Holy Spirit came directly from heaven, as it did on the apostles, nobody laid their hands on the apostles. The Holy Spirit came directly from heaven in two ways, in the immersion and in the tongues of fire sitting on them. So they received the like gift, which of course made them speak in tongues. So because this came directly from heaven, then verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So we're asking then if Cornelius received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we can prove that the Holy Spirit fell on them. That's Acts 10, verse 44, and Acts 11, verse 15. And it was poured out in verse 46. And they received the gift of the Holy Spirit that same time. And that was what was poured on them. And they received the Holy Spirit in Acts 10, 47 or 46. And they received the Holy Spirit here in chapter 11, verse 17, sorry, it gave them the like gift as he did to us. So that Cornelius and his household spoke in tongues and prophesied, there can be no doubt. But when did the apostles receive the power to give the Holy Spirit? So the tongues is a power, and it is somewhat of a power, but what about the ability to give everybody the Holy Spirit? So that was a marvelous thing in Acts, the 8th chapter. And then, of course, the apostles laid their hands on others and gave them the Holy Spirit. We also saw in Acts 8 that baptism did not immediately give them the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit. It had to be the laying on of the apostles' hands. And there's none other in the scriptures that I've found where anybody laid their hands on anybody and gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the closest that we find is in Acts, the 9th chapter, where Ananias then comes to Paul and lays his hands on Paul, and then Paul receives his sight. Acts, the 9th chapter, starting in verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Ananias, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and then he tells why, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many of this man, how that much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. So here Ananias comes in, and someone says, well, here he tells him that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 17. So Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, sent me, that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So did Ananias give Paul the Holy Spirit? Well, he would have to have given him the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because this is the only thing the apostles received that nobody else received. And so where did they get this power to give the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Someone says, well, they didn't give any until Acts 8. Well, that's possible, but look here first in verse 12. And I've seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So we can prove without a doubt that Ananias was the one that had the power to give Paul his sight. And so whether he was had the power to give him the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're not told. So Paul would have to get that some other way if he did not get it from Ananias, and there's no reason to think that he did. So when the apostles then, in Acts the 6th chapter, called for these people that had that were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So they gave out food daily. Then the 12 called the multitude and the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out from among you seven men of honest report, notice now, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So here were these men. They were full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. Now, that's not a deacon. That's the special qualification for one job, and that is to give out the ministration every day. So they appointed these men that were full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So not only wisdom, they were also full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So in Acts the 8th chapter, we find that Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit and did many miracles. Sorry, got the wrong reference here. Actually, 8th chapter. In verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the. Well, sorry, that's not the reference we want.
Chapter 6, verse 8.
Okay, chapter 6, verse 8. Thank you. All right, Stephen then is one that is doing miracles here in chapter 6. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So here he does all these miracles. And verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So not only could he do miracles, but he also was able to speak by the Holy Spirit. So here in Acts, the 6th chapter, the apostles had to have laid hands on Stephen, or he could not have been able to do these miraculous powers. So when he gave this command in Acts, the 2nd chapter, and gave the promise, how long was that going to be? So we're looking in Mark, the 16th chapter, and verse 16, 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So these signs would follow them that believe. So this was not just for the apostles and not just for a few like Cornelius. This is for all those that believed. And that's what John said when he promised that the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Christ was not yet glorified, but that they would receive, the ones who believed would receive the Holy Spirit. Acts, the 5th chapter, we find the same promise. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So the promise was to you and to your children. So the promise was to all the Jews, whoever obeyed the gospel. And someone says, well, I'm not too sure that everybody got the Holy Spirit. That would be a marvelous thing during this time. They're right. But nevertheless, we have witness. We've already read in Acts 8 that everybody in Samaria that heard the word and where Paul laid hands on them, they all received the Holy Spirit. And that's what Simon said, whosoever I lay my hands on, they will receive the Holy Spirit. Then we saw in Acts 10, all of those that heard the word in Cornelius' household, friends and kinsmen, they all received the Holy Spirit. And in Acts the 19th chapter, we find again, the promise was given to Acts, the 19th chapter, we're reading verses 5 and 6, if I can get there. Acts 19. All right, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So here are the same signs for the apostles, then for Cornelius, and now for these brethren at Ephesus. They all received the same signs, and they received the Holy Spirit. So everybody received the Holy Spirit, and when Paul went there to Ephesus in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. So Paul knew that when they didn't know about the Holy Spirit and the promise of the Holy Spirit, they didn't have the right baptism. And Paul had checked with them to see if they received the Holy Spirit, and what would he have done if they had not? The same thing he did in verse 6. So the apostles then went out and they could lay hands on men and give them the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then The other brethren went out, like Philip, and he could not give the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in Samaria, when Philip preached, then the apostles had to come and give the gifts. So that's the pattern. Everybody received the gift of the Holy Spirit in New Testament time, down to the second generation. Then we close with 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We're looking at love here in verse 8. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know even as also I am known. All right, so here in verse 8, he says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Well, that could be ordinary preaching. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. That's one of the miraculous powers. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That has to be the miraculous power, because Jesus said, my words will never pass away. So the knowledge of Jesus' words would never vanish away, but this one would. So we can prove then that two of the gifts of the Holy Spirit would vanish away. When? Well, he tells us we know in part. Well, he didn't know all the truth yet. It had not all been revealed. But when that which is perfect is come, what is that? Well, we know in part, so that which is complete has to be the complete truth, which was promised to the apostles. When that comes, then that which is in part shall be done away. So then he gives the illustration about being a child, and then he puts away these childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then when that which is perfect is come, I shall know even as also I am known. So Paul would have to know all truth at that point. So the spiritual gifts then would be done away. When? When that which is complete has come. So when did all truth come? Well, it hadn't come by 1 Corinthians here, because Paul says we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that happens, that the complete has come, the complete truth, then we'll know, Paul would know himself even as he is known. So these gifts then would be done away. And history tells us that until 100 AD, they still had the powers of the Holy Spirit. But by 150 AD, nobody had these gifts of the Holy Spirit. So this is the power that the Lord gave. And if the apostles didn't get this special power when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, then when did they get it? And if it were just the gift of the Holy Spirit, then of course everybody would have been able to give the gifts. But if the apostles then got it, it was a special witness for them. Why? Because they were the ones that were giving the scriptures. And so in Acts 2 or Hebrews 2, we won't go there, but 3 and 4, gifts of the Holy Spirit were given to those that heard Christ and then confirmed the word that Christ had spoken. All this tells us the apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was the given the power to give gifts to everybody else. And it was for a purpose for us, so we would have a marvelous witness that these words that we read in the scriptures are the word of God. So we'll have our closing hymn. Brother Dave, do you have the closing hymn?
Yes.
Travis has the closing prayer.
Number 642. 642. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word. Dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He's a great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus hath known. Sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior, and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day.
Brother Travis, you have our closing prayer.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing us with this day, and we thank you for all the immaterial blessings which you give us, our life and all things. And we pray that you would help us to seek to use these things to serve you, and we pray that you would bless us with favor in our jobs with our employers, and we pray that you would help us, that we would always seek to labor for the right reasons, and that we would seek to do things that are pleasing in your sight, and that we would serve you with everything that we think and say and do, and that we would exemplify the new mind in all of our actions. And we pray that you would help us to be kind to one another, and that we would do good unto all men, but especially unto each other, our brethren. We pray that you would help us to be tender-hearted, and that we would be compassionate as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
I enjoyed the second half of that lesson. That's not an insult to the first half. I just didn't hear it.
Okay. And that's not the final word, by the way. It's open for discussion. Or for
Thanks, Brother Johnson, for that encouraging lesson. I appreciate that.
That's good. Is Mom making there tonight? Francis, you feeling better?
Yes, sir.
Still got some of the vertigo?
Still got some, but it's getting a little better.
Well, that's good.
How is Ted's back?
The back is doing much better, much better. I took my last medicine today.
No, that's good. We got some news last night that wanted to share with y'all. Christy's been exposed to the COVID virus, and wow. She went today and got tested. Haven't gotten the results back yet, but they ended up the school where she teaches. They ended up closing the whole school for 2 weeks. So she's asking for prayers.
Okay.
So when was she exposed?
This past Friday.
Okay, so it's been several days then.
Yes.
Yeah. So what made when she just found out about it yesterday?
Tuesday. I believe it was Tuesday. She was in the break room with someone who actually they found out they had the virus, and after all this, they found out they had the virus. They thought they had just a head cold, but found out afterwards that on Friday that she did have the virus, and this lady ended up in the hospital.
Well, so she had a severe case.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people go places when they have colds nowadays.
Yeah, they should be careful. Dave, have you been exposed to Christy since Friday?
Yeah. Yeah, not real close, more or less in the same room, but nothing really close.
Okay, I guess we'll have to wait and see if she comes down with something, know if you do.
Right, yeah. Old Bess is ready if it happens.
Yeah, we just be asking the Lord for all of us, right?
Definitely. Anybody heard from Loretta? I know she was having trouble sleeping. Do they have an update on her?
Farrah said she's on tonight.
Oh, is she? Oh, okay. Okay. What about Gabriel over in India? I know I announced that Sunday that possibly he had COVID-19. Do we have any more information on him?
Yes. He went after the medicine, the ivermectin and Z-Pak and something else. But anyway, after 2 days, he started to feel better. And then the third day, he drove 425 kilometers down to Madurai for a wedding.
Crazy.
And he's also planning to go back. He's probably on the middle of the road right now, driving one shot. Takes him about 6.5 hours.
He's another one that needs to stay home if he feels like he might have been sick.
Yeah, he should, but unfortunately he's over 21, so I couldn't do a thing.
He sounds more American than Indian.
Well, look who's been around all these years.
That's the truth.
Is there a student, Brother Johnson? Uh-huh.
What was that?
Is he a student?
Gabriel's one of my translators.
Oh, one of your translators. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he handles a whole lot of things for us, and He looks after the computers and things like that, and Wi-Fi, and he's quite a whiz and all that stuff. But anyway, he doesn't do the books except in when somebody else is not able to do them.
Oh, okay.
Xavier is the one that looks after the books in Isaiah. They're keeping track of all the finances.
Oh, okay.
So is Glenn there? Must be out. Must be on the out.
Peter, any updates on Peter's leg or ankle?
I only know that he went back to work on Tuesday.
Oh,
wow. I haven't heard anything else.
Is he on a little scooter?
Yes, of course. Okay. He's got
so
his.
He can to work twice as fast then.
Yeah, probably so.
Must be his left foot, is it?
Yeah, it is. That's why he's able to drive to work.
He's able to work. Did he lose any income because he's sick?
No, sir. He worked from home while he was out. He was able to work from home.
Yeah, what a blessing.
It is. It is.
What about Stephen and Luke and Flo?
They're doing well. We saw them today.
Well, that's good.
Yes, sir.
So they're all done with their quarantine.
Yes. Flo could lose her mask yesterday, she said, in the house.
Right.
Yeah, we had Luke actually today for a couple of hours, which was fun.
Yay. Yeah.
I know.
Being on either of her relatives.
She said they were doing some better. And her brother-in-law is back home.
Yeah, that's good.
Excuse me?
Dad, he just said that's good. I talked to her too today about the relatives, and she was saying her brother's home and
yeah,
that
what a blessing.
They're gradually improving so far. So her niece, I think, with the heart surgery is still, I mean, she's still, of course, hospitalized and needing a lot of treatment, but I think she was doing kind of as good as could be expected, if I understood it right.
Right. That's the one that had to be transported to Cleveland Clinic, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Will I get in trouble if I say what day it is?
I don't mind.
Oh, have you had a good day?
It was fine.
Good.
The kids have been sweet. Astrid cleaned up some. Same as. Yep. Kayla and Carter came over and cooked a little bit and did my dishes. How about that?
All right. Somebody's not happy.
He's got two new girls here. He's not sure about them. It's Katie and Lena.
Right.
Well, you all have a good night.
Good night.
All right. Happy to hear from you all. Questions on?
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Brother Ted.
Good night.
Thanks for the lesson, Brother Dennis. I'm here.
What did you say? Glenn said thanks for the lesson.
Okay, good. Glad you're on.
Very good lesson.
I appreciate that. That's a very interesting study.
Yes. Yes. Throughout the years.
That's why?
Yeah. As I mean, for many, many years, that can be taught all the time. I mean, that's such a great lesson.
That's good. I'm slow. It's just taking me a long time to search it out.
All right. Well, I think we're going to sign off for tonight. Hope everybody has a good rest of your week.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a good night.